Okay. So very happy to be here at this Harinam initiation. And the Harinam initiation means initiation into the chanting of Hare Krishna. So with this Harinam initiation, there's a formal, of course, acceptance of the disciple. The disciple is formally accepting the guru. And the disciple is joining the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So in order to have spiritual knowledge, in order to go back to the spiritual world, you have to be a member of a sampradaya. And we're fortunate that in our sampradaya, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Some of the other sampradayas, you go to Vaikuntha, which is a nice place. But in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, particularly those who are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, they can enter into Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet in the spiritual world. And that is actually the goal of Krishna consciousness, to have an intimate relationship with Krishna and in the Goloka Vrindavan. So that's one point about initiation. And of course, in order to do that, one has to chant the holy names of Krishna without offense. And so that's 10 offenses we're talking about. There's 10 offenses against chanting, or 10 offenses that interfere with one's progress in spiritual life, and Prabhupada would always mention these 10 offenses. First offense is to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. And of course, what I advise is to do the opposite. So instead of taking the offenses in a negative way, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, then positively we should serve those devotees. Because bhakti, or devotion, resides in the heart of a devotee and comes from the devotees. Krishna himself doesn't give bhakti. It comes from the devotees. So the question was raised earlier today, how to get faith in Krishna. And Krishna is so much up there, so to speak, not in a geographical sense, but he's so much up there that it's, in one sense, it's hard to understand Krishna or even relate to him. But we can understand and relate to Krishna's devotees. So by serving Krishna's devotees, Mahatsevam Horvi Muktes, one can actually become Krishna conscious very, very easily. Like we find the final verse of the Guru Vashtika, Yasha Prasada Bhagavat Prasado Yasha Prasada Na Gati Katopi. That going back to God, it simply means to please the spiritual master, please Krishna's representative. And if we don't please, no matter how much we chant, no matter how many times we go around Govardhan, no how many times we take a bath in Radhakund, we ain't going back to Godhead. Try to remember that. It's a very easy method. I mean, that's why I've taken my course of life to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. Because I know my path back to Krishna Loka is assured. You know, guaranteed. It's like an insurance policy. But if I were simply to sit down in Radhakund, it's not guaranteed. Probably I'd go somewhere else. Anyway, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if one simply sits down in Radhakund and they're not ready for it, then Radhakund becomes Narakakund for that particular individual. So, anyway, so that's the first offense, and I present it in a positive way. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, and that's a big one in Fiji. Like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. And actually, instead, we should see that the demigods are servants of Lord Vishnu and respect the demigods. Just like in Bhuvaneshwara, where they worship Lord Shiva, it's actually called Gupta Kashi. In Bhuvaneshwara, what do? They take the remnants of Lord Jagannath and they transport it in a taxi. They hire a taxi. Or no, they have a special car. And they bring it to Lord Shiva.
Every day.
Every day, yeah. You didn't know this?
I hear something
like that. Yeah, every day, because Lord Shiva is not going to eat boga. He likes Mahaprasadam. There's that story in Chaitanya Mangal. You know that story.
Yeah.
Where Lord Shiva got this Mahaprasadam. He starts dancing in ecstasy, and he didn't even share any with Parvati. And she got really angry. And because of her anger and her devotion, we're getting Mahaprasadam today. So, anyway, so every day they do that, because Lord, that's the best offering for Lord Shiva. So instead, we can respect the demigods, as servants of Krishna. And if you think that they're equal to or independent of Krishna, that's a big offense. And Krishna in the Gita says, avidipurvakam, it's not the proper methodology. Okay, and the third offense, of course, is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Of course, that's very similar to the first offense. Instead, positively, we obey the order. And what does the guru say? At least this one is not so stringent. He says, chant Hare Krishna. Follow the regulative principles. Serve Prabhupada's mission with your life and soul, with whatever energy you have. Because this mission of Srila Prabhupada is meant for changing the lives of misdirected civilization, as the Bhagavatam says, Tad Bhagavi Sargo, Janataga Bhiplavo. And it's a mission that's meant to really save the world. It's not just for oneself. So it's a very exciting mission like that. A very exciting movement that we have. And if I was just thinking of saving myself, it would be very boring. And I mentioned to the devotees the other day, one of the reasons I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement was that I was looking for a method of saving people. And before that, my mother told me saving people meant becoming a doctor. And I told her, people die anyway. So what's the use of being a doctor? And I hope I'm not offending any doctors that may be here in the room. And basically, because I wanted to save people. Compassion is a hallmark of a devotee. Tatikshava, kurunika, surada sarvadehinam. Anyway, so one obeys the orders of the spiritual master. Our next offense is, of course, blaspheming the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. Instead, we should distribute the Vedic literatures. And glorify even literatures that are meant for the malechas. There are malechas scriptures, but they're meant to bring people up to a little higher platform, so maybe after many, many births and deaths, they will actually come to Krishna consciousness. Because it's better they have something than nothing. I mean, just like in the Bible, the Old Testament, there are these laws, and there's one book of the Old Testament called Leviticus. You may not be aware of this, but I studied all these things. It gives dietary restrictions. And those dietary restrictions are quite different from our dietary restrictions. They say, when you kill an animal, you're supposed to drain the blood first. And you're not supposed to take milk with meat. So it's some restrictions. Or you're supposed to kill them, quote, humanely. But there's no question of humane. In other words, they're restricting. Just like Prabhupada said that the government will restrict the consumption of liquor by licensing the liquor stores, understanding that people are not going to give up taking it anyway. Because just like in India, people have homebrew all the time. And sometimes they die from it. So the government regulates these things. So the malecha shastras regulate to whatever degree people are willing to accept. And of course, we are following the Vedic literatures, which also have different degrees of regulation. I mean, for example, there's injunctions that if one wants to offer a goat to the goddess Kali, you do it once a month and you chant Mamsakarati. The next life, you're going to eat me. So that sort of discourages you after some time. I'm not saying we don't follow that in Krishna consciousness, but there's different levels, like Krishna says in the Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nish Trigunya Bhavarjana. He says the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of nature for people who are in Maya. So all of us are in Maya to a certain extent. So we apply injunctions to people that are appropriate to their situation. Just like if someone has material desires, I tell them to worship Krishna. And if someone has no material desires, I tell them to worship Krishna and don't have material desires. So I preach appropriate to time, place, and circumstance. So the Vedic literatures are like that, or the other literatures are like this. So we should respect all literatures that glorify God or ultimately point towards a higher destination that ultimately gets to God. So, good time. The next offense to be avoided is to think that the glories of Hare Krishna are imagination. Instead, we understand that Krishna is 100% there in his holy names, Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Binatvam Namanamino. And when we're dealing with the holy name, it's like dealing with a deity. We should be very careful and treat the holy name just like Krishna, and the holy name is Krishna. And so the next one is, the offense is to give some perverted or concocted interpretation about the holy name. Instead, we actually go by the meaning given to us by the acharyas. What is the meaning of the holy name for us? That means, O Radha Rani, Hare Krishna, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in Krishna's service. That's the meaning. And Krishna, of course, means the most attractive. Hare is Radharani in the vocative, crying out for Radharani. And Ram is Lord Ramchandra, Balaram, and also Radharaman. Those three things. These are the meanings given by the acharyas. So we don't concoct a meaning. Next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. So the positive is, don't sin. That's pretty easy. Do bhakti on the strength of chanting, not sins. Next offense is to consider the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to be one of the ritualistic procedures. In other words, we don't compare, we do rituals too. I mean, for example, you're doing a havan here, which is fine, it's beautiful, wonderful. But we said today in the class, what did we say, do you remember? That the chanting of Hare Krishna is more auspicious than all the Vedas. And we actually mentioned in class that when Prabhupada installed the deities in Krishna Balaram Mandir, what installed the deities, you remember?
Yeah,
the Mahamantra, the Sankirtan. So that's really the point. Because in this Kali Yuga, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, that the Dharma for this age is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. And of course we do other things, we have deity worship, we sometimes meditate, home. Not really. Sometimes, you know, we meditate on Krishna's pastimes sometimes. But the central focus should always be Krishna Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of Krishna's names. So the ninth offense, of course, is to instruct the glories of the Lord to those who are faithless. What that really means is that we adjust our preaching according to time, place, and circumstance. So in other words, it's not that we don't get people to chant, it's not that we don't talk to people. But for example, I have one disciple who doesn't explain to people so much philosophy because she's at a workplace, she works as a social worker. What she does is just get people to say the magic word, Gurunga. Mm-hmm. And she's known as the Gurunga lady. She gets everyone to say Gurunga. And so she's adjusting her preaching or presentation. Or you give people prasadam. There's a way to approach almost anybody with Krishna consciousness. But you don't give them more than they can take, or else they'll get discouraged, they'll run away, they'll commit offenses, and then you'll be committing violence to that particular individual as well as offending the holy name. And then finally, then one should have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna and not maintain material attachment. So that's a hard one. But it's actually not offensive to have material attachments. It's offensive to maintain them. Just like anybody's house can get dirty, but if you add more dirt to the house, that's pretty stupid. So we should be attempting to get rid of the anarthas, not increase the anarthas. That's the point. Don't feel guilty I have all these anarthas, because as you start to chant Hare Krishna, guess what happens? You become more aware of the anarthas, or as the example Prabhupada gave, when you start to clean a room, the dust starts to fly, and you become more aware of the dirt. Or when you start to make ghee, then the impurities rise to the surface. So I hear this from devotees all the time. They say, I just started chanting Hare Krishna, and now I feel more contaminated. But you're aware. You become more aware of how contaminated you were to begin with. So you try to get rid of that contamination, not increase the contamination. Not thinking, oh, I'm so discouraged, I got all this contamination, better just to give into it. And then also it's offensive to be inattentive while chanting. So these are sort of negative injunctions that we can turn to the positive in most cases. But to really understand how to chant Hare Krishna properly, apart from avoiding these offenses and doing the positive thing, we should study Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshashtaka, the eight prayers left by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, beginning with the glorification of the holy names and ending with absolute surrender to the Lord, the final prayer of the Shishashika. And if we study these prayers and pick the particular prayers that resonate with us at our particular level of devotional service, because you may not be ready for, you know, you can crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted, not be present before me. You may be just ready for, I don't know, Dunham Janam Sundarim. I'm saying you read them all, but a particular one, or Ayananda Tunija Kinkaram, that's actually easier to relate to. Most people are not on the Dunham Janam Sundarim level. They're thinking, instead of na Dunham na Sundarim, they're thinking, give me Dunham, give me Janam, give me Sundarim. Or if they're a woman, give me Sundara. Right? You all know what that means? Yeah. Give me a Bollywood star. So anyway, so basically, but we can all be thinking, Ainanda Tanuja, Kinkaram, Putitam, Mam, Vishame, Bhavambudo, Kripya Tavapada Panka, Stitta Tawuli Sadrasam, Vichintiya. That my dear Lord, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've caught or been caught in this horrible ocean of birth and death. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. We can pray like that too. And Prabhupada sort of said the same thing when he said one should chant with the mood of a child or a baby crying out for his mother. Hare Krishna, save me. Hare Krishna, save me. Like this. So this is the positive in chanting Hare Krishna. So anyway, so this is first initiation, and there are vows taken at first initiation. One should take his vows, her vows, very seriously. Oftentimes, I cite the example of Grandfather Bhishma took his vows maybe a little too seriously. You know, a little too serious. But anyway, he was Dhritavrata. He was always attached to his vows. So Prabhupada considered that human beings should never break a promise. Prabhupada was shocked when he came to the Western world and people broke their promises, because Prabhupada came from a very high-class society. He had never experienced before that someone acted irresponsibly, at least in his culture, or broke their promises. So we should just stick to whatever promise we make, particularly the promises of initiation, promises of marriage, or any promises we make that are important in life. And in this way, we can make spiritual advancement. Krishna will be very pleased with us. So these are very important vows that are being taken today. You know, particularly the four regulated principles, 16 rounds minimum every day. Sometimes people question, why do we have 16 rounds? That's a question I've heard a number of times while I've been here. Why don't we just have four rounds? You know, it's a lot easier. Or two rounds, or a round a week. You know. Well, first of all, it's the order of the acharyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said 64 rounds for people who just stay in the temple, didn't do too much. But 16 rounds if you were preaching and doing something active in the world. So 16 rounds wasn't standard. Prabhupada chanted 16 rounds. Prabhupada didn't chant 64 rounds a day, because Prabhupada was actively preaching. So the 16 rounds is necessary, first of all, because it's the order of the acharyas. And secondly, because we need that many rounds just to keep ourselves on an even keel in Krishna consciousness. Because the rounds, as we know from the first verse of the Shikshashika, are the cleansing process. So because we're here in Kali Yuga, if we don't keep clean every day, I mean, just like everybody, I hope everybody here takes at least one or two showers a day, right? Maybe not? Okay. And I was just telling the story the other day, how I was giving a class in a city where people came in who didn't take showers. They're street people. And I started to give the Sunday feast lecture and I couldn't continue because I was choking to death. You understand? Because they had taken their shoes off. I said, get these people out. I'm not giving class to them. So, because the material world is very contaminating. Kalair Doshan and Hey Rajan, especially in Kali Yuga. I mean, look what happened to Ajamil. We mentioned him in class. He just saw a couple, you know, Shudra couple, and then he just like deviated from Krishna consciousness. So we're seeing so many things. We're coming in contact, especially if you're working in the world. you're coming in contact with so much contaminating influences. And if you don't chant that number of rounds, you're not going to be keeping the heart clean. Simple as that. If you just chant 4 rounds, that's not enough to keep the heart clean. 16 rounds. And if you don't, and people who don't chant, they ultimately end up deviating from Krishna consciousness and losing the taste. My experience in chanting is that the more you chant, the more you want to chant. Of course, the acharyas, like Rupa Goswami, he prays for like millions of tongues and millions of ears so we can continually hear and chant Krishna's names. But I experienced, let's say, on some Ekadasis where I chant 64 rounds whenever I'm not doing anything else, not tomorrow, of course, mm-hmm. because Krishna Chandra has me fully engaged in his service. So I experience that I can't stop. You know, sometimes I get to 64 rounds and I just say, why? Why should I stop? And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I go to like 80 or something like that. And just because, you know, it's time to sleep, I stop. But basically, it just grows on you. You want to chant more and more and more and more. And so 16 rounds is nothing. As I often say, 16 rounds is just the warm-up before the game. Just warming up. So we do have this 16 rounds minimum. And actually, that's absolutely necessary to keep oneself fit, spiritually fit, in Kali Yuga. And we have the four regulated principles. We don't need to speak about why they're absolutely necessary, because if one breaks the four regulated principles, not only is there bad karma, but there's the mode of ignorance that comes in. And not only that, there's Kali that comes in. Kali is the personification of this age, and it's the age of quarrel. So in other words, Kali enters, we start quarreling, we feel disappointed, we feel depressed. So many things occur. That's why we have the four regular principles and 16 rounds. Very, very important. Okay, so then we'll proceed now with the initiation. That's all right.